Imagine they knew if it was going to happen, but they didn't know exactly when.
That would also be pretty bad.
Imagine if they just heard that first telltale crack and then had to say to themselves, well, we ain't getting to the surface.
I don't go places.
I wouldn't worry about it because, you know, garden pee within a nanosecond.
That's true. I'm also very poor, so I can't afford to go on any fancy adventures.
Well, it sounds like you just haven't worked hard enough.
I need to pull myself up on my bootstraps. That's what I think. I'm not reaching down far enough for the bootstraps.
Submarine voyages for the people. God damn it.
No, not for the people. Voyage. I don't want to go on submarines. I don't want to go on submarines. Hey, you know what game had a submarine, though? What? Final Fantasy VII.
That's appropriate, because welcome to Slightly Something Else, where we're talking about Final Fantasy games.
Yay!
I find it hard to believe Final Fantasy VII is the only Final Fantasy game with a submarine in it.
That was the only one that came to mind immediately. Like, there's a whole section where you have to go to the seafloor to find an underwater guardian named the Emerald Weapon.
Wasn't like half of Final Fantasy X take place underwater because everyone could breathe somehow?
Yeah, because they play Blitzball, which is like kind of rugby underwater. But I don't know if they have submarines. That. Yeah.
Well. As I was saying to you before, sure hope all these wonderful people who've come to listen to this podcast aren't expecting any Final Fantasy 16 opinions, because I haven't started it yet.
I've played enough for the both of us, don't you worry.
Okay. Although I do know a couple of things. I know the main character's called Clive.
Clive. Yeah, there's a Clive, there's a Jill, there's a Joshua.
Honestly, Clive just makes me laugh.
Why?
It just feels like kind of a dorky name.
If we think about a lot of Final Fantasy characters of Dory, like Cloud, that's a pretty dumb name. Lightning's a pretty dumb name.
Yeah, it's a dumb name, but, you know, in the UK at least, Clive would be considered, like, you know, the name of a sort of dullard. You associate with people like Clive Jenkins or Clive Anderson. It's just a dude, just a normal dude's name.
The only Clive I think of is Clive Owen, and he's cool. He's very cool.
Okay, but Clive's not that common a name in the US, right?
No, not at all.
So, you know, he's able to own it.
Yeah, that's true. That's why he's the only Clive I think of.
Yeah.
Clive Barker, he's cool too. Thank you, Kelly.
Hello, my name's Clive.
That's exactly what he sounds like too, so perfect.
I like going to the disco.
I would play the hell out of a Final Fantasy game that was just built around that Clive wanting to go to a disco.
I don't know, just like, would be a good equivalent if the main character was called Eugene.
Not enough video game protagonists are named Eugene.
Need
to fix this. Put a Eugene in your game.
The other thing I know about Final Fantasy 16 is that it doesn't play a whole lot like other Final Fantasy games. Because by Christ, people have been vocal about that.
Yeah. It's funny. It's a combination of people have been vocal, but I feel like even more vocal are the people who are against the people being vocal, which happens a lot on the internet, where a lot of people are mad at criticisms, and it's harder to find the criticisms than it is the people who are mad at it, but that is a major discussion point. Yeah.
There's a lot of preemptive criticism deflection these days, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people almost, one suspect, sort of invites sort of knee-jerk criticism just so they can look like the cool person standing in defiance of it.
I mean, a lot of people were voicing their opinions on the game like on Friday, and I'm like, this game came out on Thursday, and this is a very long game, so I don't know what you guys, like, maybe you guys shouldn't be voicing your opinions until you've played more of the game.
Right. I assume it's, like, incredibly long. I assume even, like, playing through it all week, I don't have a hoop in hell of finishing the bloody thing.
I think you could finish if you focus mostly on the main missions, I think you can get through it relatively quickly.
Well, and
there's a lot of side quests. Different. There's a lot of side quests. If you see a side quest with an exclamation point next to it, you should do it because it usually gives you a gameplay mechanic at the end of it. That's my pro tip to everyone. Side quests with an exclamation point, do them.
The other thing I've heard that I wonder the truth of is that it's not really an RPG.
We could get into the discussion of what actually an RPG is, but
supposed to be what Final Fantasy is, which in my mind is an RPG.
Sure. And the system is, or the franchise has been kind of synonymous with RPGs for 37 years. But yes, there is very little in the ways of sort of traditional stat tweaking and major decisions on your part.
Do you equip things?
You equip equipment. At a certain point, you need to choose which of three different sort of attack styles you want to bring into a given battle to oscillate between. Yeah, there's soft party members, as in like party members sort of enter and exit. You don't have control over them except for your dog, who's great.
I don't know about you, I like my party members good and hard.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm just big. I'm a big soft guy. What? Let's talk about something else. Did you play any of the early Final Fantasy games?
Well, actually, I might have played more than you might think.
Ooh.
Because I was big into PC console emulation around the mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
So I played a lot of the popular SNES games during that time. I played Chrono Trigger and Earthbound and Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6. I don't think I've finished any of them except Earthbound. I finished Earthbound. But I don't think I ever actually finished any of the others. Because they all went on so bloody long.
Yeah, they were beefy games. Final Fantasy VI, this was a series
I remember liking. I remember Final Fantasy VI, aka Final Fantasy III. Don't ask, it's confusing. Being actually quite good.
Yeah, six. I mean, honestly, you just named the three. Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, and Final Fantasy VI were the three games that got me into role-playing games, playing them on the Super Nintendo. And I was like, oh, man, I really like these. And so starting with seven, I was on board for every game as soon as they came out. But
yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it was funny because...
Seven is sort of what made me go off the whole franchise. It just felt like it was taking itself way too seriously from that point on. All focusing on the pretty anime sword boys and the ridiculous outfits.
Oh, man, I guess maybe your mileage may vary starting with seven of how much you love pretty anime sword boys. And as someone who loves pretty anime sword boys, I was all friggin' in. And that was also like the biggest... That was like the first time I remember massive advertising pushes for games. Like there were Final Fantasy VII commercials during like sporting events, and they would really lean on the CG trailers and everything, and the, you know, the FMVs, which at the time were pretty groundbreaking, and also kind of the reason that, you know, Final Fantasy I through VI, Square best friends with Nintendo, and then
very first Final Fantasy game was a classic of the NES.
Yeah, absolutely. 1, 2, 3 were NES or Super or Famicom, and then 4, 5, 6 were Super Famicom. And then when Nintendo was like, we are sticking with cartridges, Square was like, that is not cool for us. And
yeah, so, that's when all the third-party king makers jumped ship. Capcom jumped ship. Square jumped
Konami
ship.
Konami pretty much jumped ship, yeah.
Everything went to the PlayStation.
Yeah, but we had Banjo-Kazooie on the Nintendo 64, and that's all that really mattered.
Oh, that makes up for it, doesn't it?
25th anniversary of Banjo-Kazooie is this week. Are you excited? How are you going to celebrate?
By wearing this face. This very excited face.
What a game. Oh, my God. Is Banjo-Kazooie the greatest 3D platformer of all time? Because my answer is yes.
I feel like you're going out on a bit of a limb here, Martin.
It is literally my favorite 3D platformer of all time. I think the game is... absolutely perfect until the last 25 minutes.
What about Mario Odyssey?
Good, but it's not Banjo-Kazooie.
Well, Jesus. You're going even further out on that limb. You watch out. That limb's going to break.
Oh, no. Banjo-Kazooie's perfect.
Did you play Yooka-Laylee?
I did. I liked little bits of it, but it felt like the levels as a whole were sort of soulless. I need to play Yooka-Laylee in the Impossible Lair. People say that's better than the original one. And it's like kind of like a more 2D platformer.
I don't know. I touched the stove. I got burned. I don't feel inclined to touch that stove again.
That's probably wise. That's probably wise.
Yes, Final Fantasy VI I liked because as well as having like the full-on epic fantasy story, as has always been the case with Final Fantasy, it also felt like you got in and out of the action nice and quick.
Yes.
You get into fights, goes, broop, broop. You go, here's a dude. Smash, smash, smash. Dead. Back out again.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's what I want. And then for Final Fantasy VII onwards, suddenly, every time you got into a battle, the camera's got to very slowly track around the room so you can see all the things you're fighting. Everyone's got to have these long, elaborate attacks.
And that wouldn't have happened if it was on the N64. No loading times on the N64.
And they just doubled down for that with Final Fantasy VIII. Final Fantasy IX, I'll grant you, I quite liked because it was a little bit more well, fantasy.
Yeah, that went back to its roots. That was almost like remaking the spirit of the original Final Fantasy. And
apparently
and not
nobody liked
so
it because they got fucking Mr. Kingdom Hearts in to do Final Fantasy X.
Everyone
and then it was back to Pretty Anime Sword Boys and a plot that didn't make the slightest lick of sense.
Oh, do not say that, because there are folks of a generation. And I'm going to say I'm not the biggest Final Fantasy X fan. I think much like we were talking about this when we were talking about Zelda, how I think people who love Twilight Princess, that might have been like their first experience of Zelda, and that's why they love it. I think Final Fantasy X, the people who love it, was that was their first experience with Final Fantasy. And like a lot of things, when you play something at a younger age, it imprints on you. Final Fantasy X didn't do that for me, though. It was very impressive, technically, and it was part of PlayStation 2's incredible 2001, which had like Silent Hill 2 and Ico and Metal Gear Solid 2. Just incredible fall for that console.
Well, yes. But let's get to the meat of it. Could you summarize the plot of Final Fantasy X in 10 words or less, please?
Yes.
Let me try.
Star.
Let me try.
Athlete.
Ghost footballer from the future fights dad, who is a whale.
Yes. Yeah. Sin. Yeah.
There, but even that, you know, doesn't really do it justice. We didn't even mention the horrible outfits.
Well, listen, if you want to be reductive, every game in 10 words is going to sound dumb. What's Half-Life? Scientist with bad goatee makes whoopsie daisy at work.
Saves the world from aliens. That's the elevator pitch. It's easy.
You know what game wasn't great? The end of Half-Life 2 Episode 1. We did not enjoy ourselves at the end of Episode 1. That's a different topic. I just want to let you know.
I don't remember what happened at the end of episode one. Oh, yeah. They
get on a train.
Yeah. You get on a train, then the city is destroyed. Well,
Just doesn't feel like a lot happened. Like the whole episode was us escaping from the tower that's about to blow up.
Well, the whole point is it was quite hard to escape from the tower because everything was going to shit.
Yeah.
Well, maybe episode two will smooth things over a bit.
I hope so.
Although it will end on a cliffhanger that you must accept will never be resolved.
Oh, no. You don't think it'll ever be resolved?
What?
You don't think it'll ever be resolved?
Well, Valve surprised me before.
But then
Half-Life Alyx comes out. Half-Life Alyx comes out that sort of retcons the ending of episode 2 in a weird way. So I don't know what the fuck could happen next.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about.
A lot of tangents.
And you know what? When I heard Final Fantasy 16 was going to be, or was, like a full-on real-time combat experience, action-adventure thing, I wasn't actually that surprised, because looking at Final Fantasy's trajectory since probably Final Fantasy VI, it feels like a series that's been trying to transition from a turn-based RPG to a real-time combat game so slowly no one will notice.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, right? I would say that even started with Final Fantasy IV, with the introduction of the active time battle system,
I thought Final Fantasy VI was where the ATB came in, but
that was pretty much where it was kind of popularized. And then going into that sort of added you mentioned how fast paced and energetic the battles in VI felt, and I think part of that was because you were watching these lines move, and they said they sort of they wanted it to almost look like a car race, to where you have people in pole position and people, you know, swapping in and out. And that sort of energy propelled it forward. And we got that as we went to 7 and 8, you were talking about, they sort of added a cinematic flair to battles. The camera did a lot of work. Attacks started to become these big kind of bombastic action set pieces where you summon a god from the sky or a demon from underground to do all sorts of nonsense. Then big numbers would appear.
You know, they absolutely should have visualized it as a car race. They should have done it like Mario Kart. Just little bobblehead characters on little go-karts going around a little 2D track.
Yeah, like what is a haste spell if not using a mushroom? Or what is slow if not throwing a banana peel at your
ass? There you go. God, my eldest just got into Mario Kart. This is all.
Oh, no.
Because I picked it out for her because I heard you could just set the game to auto steer and auto accelerate. She's having a fucking whale of a time like that. She's like, I could play video games too. And I was like, of course you can, dear.
And this, are they playing the one on Switch? Like all of
Mario latest Kart 8? One. Yeah, latest one. Yeah.
Great game.
Yeah, so, and then But the thing about Final Fantasy is that it's reinvented itself a lot.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I mean, in contrast to Dragon Quest, it's weird because it's Final Fantasy. Am I right in saying it was always more popular in the West than it was in Japan?
Yeah, it feels like Dragon Quest is that thing that, like, sort of apocryphally has, you know, we consider it a holiday. School doesn't go in session on days a Dragon Quest game comes out. Whereas definitely starting with 7, it felt like Final Fantasy was a game almost geared towards the West.
Yeah, because, of course, Dragon Quest wasn't quite so well known in the West over the years.
No.
It was Final Fantasy that got all the headlines, but Dragon Quest, they're nuts for it in Japan.
Yeah.
So, and they have an interesting contrast of approaches, because Dragon Quest has remained very traditional. Mm-hmm. Even like the latest one still has like classic turn-based battle in. It lets you run around in the turn-based battle, but it's for literally no reason.
Just and it's even, they've all kind of retained the Toriyama art style as well. You know, whereas Final Fantasy has done chibi characters and has done science fiction and has done, you know, old fantasy.
That can be a strike against a series, I think. If it doesn't
A core identity?
Yeah, not having an identity. We've talked about that, haven't we? We've talked about... Was it us who talked about Square Enix not having an identity in a previous episode of this?
I think we literally had an episode called Square Enix has an identity crisis,
Well, Final Fantasy certainly reflects that. I mean, the fact that 11 and 14 were MMOs out of nowhere... Don't talk about 12 anymore?
I talk about 12 anymore, and a couple of folks in chat are 12 fucking lovers. Well, and I think 12 is actually the one that might be closest to 16 in my mind, because it feels like it has that kind of very serious medieval political melodrama like Final Fantasy Tactics or even Vagrant Story.
I feel like Final Fantasy 15 did have that, but it happened off screen.
It all happened off screen. It was like, there's a coup. Your dad's dead.
Yeah, it's a coup. Your dad's dead. It was probably really exciting. Pity you missed it, really. Anyway, let's camp next to a lake and cook some fish.
Let's get back to our car. What a weird game. Final Fantasy 15, in retrospect, especially while playing 16, what a weird game.
I know. I mean, the fact that they all dressed so weirdly soberly, sort of like, just in contrast to the other games, makes it the weird one.
Yeah. Final Fantasy has always been at the forefront of fashion, though.
Well, I suppose
with a character like Squall Lionheart,
in the sense of the kind of fashion where, you know, ridiculous billionaires pay a model to wear like a toilet bowl around their neck and a fucking snuggie, then yes, I suppose I agree.
Squall, Lightning, just fashion icons of our generation.
I'm assuming Final Fantasy 13 must have gotten pretty popular because it had like 2 spin-offs.
Yeah, that was a weird... That's the weirdest... I think that's the weirdest era of Final Fantasy in my mind, because when they got to the new generation of consoles, the PS3, the 360, their whole grand plan was that Fabula Nova Crystallis, and they said, we're going to build a shared... They were doing shared universes before Marvel was, so... they said, we want to build a series of games that all take place in the same universe, and some will be RPGs and some will be action oriented. Maybe we'll do some movies in there. And that whole thing kind of fell apart. They bit off a lot more than they could chew.
Well, it never works out, that does it? It never works out when you come out and say, we're going to do a huge cinematic universe starting with this. Nope. You're supposed to build off a success, you idiot.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Always putting the cart before the horse. Yeah, but it was the game that, you know, I guess 10 already had 10-2, a direct sequel, but, you know, it spawned a trilogy of games, so they sold well, and also Square put a lot of stock in, like, Lightning being the face of their company.
Which is weird, so that, because she was a real, like, white noise of a character.
Yeah, wasn't a whole lot going on there. I think the sequels are interesting in how they try to mix up the formula, and Lightning Returns kind of tries to do the Majora's Mask. you have a finite amount of time. You have to go back in time and try to fix things before the world ends.
Yeah, I've played Lightning Returns. I reviewed it even, but I couldn't really tell you anything about it.
Yeah, it doesn't stick with me, but I remember at the time being like, oh, this is pretty neat. And then, yeah, and that whole era was kind of defined, I think, by a lot of stumbles, because you had Final Fantasy Versus 13, which was supposed to be the action-oriented one, which kind of ended up transforming into Final Fantasy 15 and taking a very long time. Final Fantasy 14 launching and to disastrous results and having to be almost completely rebooted into Realm Reborn.
Yeah, they bounced back from that, didn't they? It's like one of the most popular MMOs still now.
And I think I'm pretty sure it's the best-selling Final Fantasy. It's probably sold more than Final Fantasy VII, so I'm sure it's the best-selling Final Fantasy game.
That's not really fair to compare in the MMO world.
Yeah, because it is a weird, like, if something is just free and then you download it. I'm sure it's the most profitable Final Fantasy, at the very least.
Completely different audience, of course.
Very different, yes. Although, like, the person who spearheaded the Realm Reborn remake of 14 is one of the lead producers of 16, so at the very least Square is I guess rewarding that success by letting folks take on other projects in the series. Final Fantasy though has also, like Mario, has branched off the path a lot. They've done a lot of spin-offs, done a lot of weird tangential games. They've done party games and racing games, and they tried to do that movie in 2001, which literally bankrupted a studio and sort of forced the series creator Sakaguchi out of the company.
It's been around the houses, but what is it that characterizes Final Fantasy as an identity at this point? You've got Moogles and Chocobos.
You do, yeah.
And that's about it.
I think I think they have said that Final Fantasy needs to have crystals and magic to be Final Fantasy. And that is something that is in all the games, and that is a major part of 16. But
the movie
said
that's magic in it.
It felt like technological magic. I haven't actually seen the movie in a long time. It felt like one of those, like, we have advanced technology that may as well be.
Well, any magic. Sufficiently advanced technology and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. But the games have, there's shared themes among all the games. There's the idea of, you know, found family and people fighting for ostensibly climate change, like magic being used as a metaphor for climate change.
Yeah, a lot of it feels like just sort of stock storytelling tropes, really. Here's the evil empire, go fight them.
I'd argue the thing Final Fantasy and its evolution reminds me the most of, and I know it's something that you know well, is actually the James Bond franchise in cinematic form. Because the era of James Bond, name all the James Bond movies in order. No.
Dr. No, From Russia with Love, Gold, carry on.
Thank you. Just to say, Yahtzee did do that in person in Milwaukee, and it was very impressive. James Bond to me and on film is defined very much as eras. Like the Sean Connery era has a very distinct feel and tone and sort of elements that they hinge on compared to the Roger Moore era, compared to the Dalton era, to the short Lazenby run, to Brosnan.
But did the Sean Connery era end with Diamonds Are Forever? Did it end with George Lazenby being hired to do On Her Majesty's Secret Service? Or did it end when they brought him back to do Never Say Never Again in the middle of the Roger Moore era?
Did Final Fantasy VII end in 1997? Or is it still going on now with Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth? Things never end. As long as you make money, things never end. I think in the same way that James Bond, sort of every era... is related to the other ones with broad strokes. I think that's kind of how I view Final Fantasy. And obviously there's not a singular main character, or there's not a bed of books to be able to draw upon for source material. But that's kind of how I view it.
Well, it's just making stuff that suits the current era of time. It's just because it's...
Which is Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah, just been going on for like 37 years as a sort of constant presence.
Yeah.
It's admirable in that respect. Real old hand. Very few franchises are still going from the NES days.
Yeah, outside of like the Nintendo ones, very few of them. And especially ones that have never had like long dormant periods. Like, Final Fantasy has had its ups and downs, but it's never just gone away. It feels like a thing that is too big to fail, and I'm sure a Final Fantasy 17 is currently being worked on. That's probably going to feel a lot different than Final Fantasy 16, in the same way that whoever they cast as the new James Bond post Daniel Craig is probably going to feel really different than Daniel Craig.
I want to say Metal Gear might be one of the few non-Nintendo franchises that has existed since the NES days, although I think it might be over now. I mean, I know they're remaking a bunch of things.
Yeah, and they're re-releasing the Metal Gear collection with 1, 2, and 3 is coming out in the fall. There's a leak of the second part of the collection where Metal Gear Solid 4 is going to be coming to everything. And the idea of playing Metal Gear Solid 4 on a Switch seems very weird to me.
Yeah, I've been thinking about games preservation. And if there's ever like some big apocalypse and everything digital gets erased, we're going to find ourselves around the campfire with the other huddled masses trying to explain Hideo Kojima's body of work, and no one's going to believe us.
It's going to sound made up. It's going to sound absolutely made up. Death Stranding 2 coming next year.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think those sort of specific elements and a handful of creators like Final Fantasy, like Nintendo games, a lot of the core creators are still at Square. Like you mentioned Nomura, he got a start on the Super Nintendo and is now doing whatever the hell he's doing with Kingdom Hearts and Kitase.
You know what Japanese corporate culture is like? It's like being part of a mafia. Yeah. You can come in, but you will never leave.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, American corporate culture has its different share of problems.
Someone like shared with me the average weekly schedule for a Japanese professional mangaka. It's nightmarish.
Yeah.
You get like 2 meals a day and like 5 hours of sleep, and the rest is all work.
And it's not one of those like, well, at least the pay is good. Like, the pay seems like shit. Like, they're not paid a lot.
No, don't you see? You're getting creative fulfillment.
That doesn't put food in my mouth. Who needs food when you don't sleep, though? Think about it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have to move from your desk. Yeah. So it's not like you need the energy.
You're not burning any calories. Yeah. Do you find it weird that they do you? Because I know you've been a big, don't just remake a thing, just make a new thing. Don't make a legacy sequel, just make a new thing. Do you find it strange that this has been a franchise that has continued with its name despite, you know, until 10 having no direct sequels?
I guess.
Or does this one get a pass because it's been around for so long?
Possibly. I think a big part of it is that it's got a very snappy and intriguing name. Final Fantasy. Yeah. That's the sort of name that sticks around.
Yeah.
It's driving, it's exciting. You're like, ooh, how dynamic. I mean, it hasn't actually been final at any point, but
some of them are arguably fantasy.
It's still got that dynamism to it. That's the sort of name you hang on to.
Yeah.
And since it paid off, I can understand why they're clinging to it with both hands.
It's funny how many franchise, like, there's no way when they were naming franchises like this or The Legend of Zelda or Castlevania or Mega Man that anyone thought these would still be things that are created and talked about, you know.
Excuse me, Rockman. 40
years in the future. Rockman, excuse me. Yeah, also they're not making new Mega Man games, so Rockman. Mega Man is better than Rockman, right? That's a better name. Rockman doesn't even make any sense. I'm sure in Japanese it makes more sense than in English.
Mega Man just sounds a bit bombastic.
Yeah. It also sounds too close to Mega Man now. And since 2016, that's been a sticky wicket. I don't know. The sort of...
Yes, Scavenger, of course we know the origin of the name Final Fantasy.
We do, yeah. That is...
Well, it's one of those stories that one suspects is going to get debunked at some point.
Yeah, like the just recently the Indiana Jones from the first movie of him like having food poisoning or dysentery, and then that there's the part where the guy swings his sword around and he just pulls out a gun and shoots him. The whole myth around that was Harrison Ford had food poisoning that day on set, but that was just in the script.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, the clue was that it was clearly very carefully set up and shot from multiple angles.
and Steven Spielberg is a perfectionist.
Yeah. So, yeah. You don't improv in that environment. I mean, yeah. It's possible they had a discussion about the script that morning.
Sure.
And they decided to make the alteration. But, you know, you don't get to the stage of reaching the final edit without having been very carefully crafted from every possible angle.
Yeah. But sometimes sometimes the apocryphal nature of stories are more interesting than...
Well, we haven't even told the story yet, but the origin of the Final Fantasy, the name, is that the company were on their last legs. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty sure this was going to be the last thing they were going to be able to put out. So they called it Final Fantasy as an expression of the fact that this was the end.
Yeah.
And then it did.
Whether that's really true or not, who knows?
And then it did really well, and so now every game since then has been final, but also a bit more fantasy.
Yeah. A bit, just a little more. We're almost done fantasy. We just got a little more gas left in the tank, fantasy. Don't worry.
The other thing that's that I love about Final Fantasy as a title is that if you spell this in block capitals and then move the I a little bit to the left, it spells out a different thing.
I don't even know what you, I'm literally trying to imagine what you're trying to get at.
Never mind. I'll just let you picture that in your head for a while.
I feel like I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night and just be like, oh no, what's happened? It's your kids. Yeah. Do you think Final Fantasy, if you would chart the trajectory of its run as a franchise, do you think we're at a high-ish point, a low-ish point, a midpoint? Do you think Final Fantasy holds cultural cachet when it comes to games?
Well, it hardly matters if it doesn't now, because there's always the chance it will reinvent itself again. And become good again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone was complaining about Final Fantasy IX when it came out, because they were like, no, it's not like 7 and 8, which are the ones I like.
That whole era, Mario Sunshine comes out, people complain. Wind Waker comes out, people complain. Metal Gear Solid 2 comes out, people complain. Jesus
Christ,
what was going
on? Good as the last thing you did, are you?
Yeah.
And I think Final Fantasy, there's a select few number of like IPs where it can always come back. They could put out a dodgy one, but all they have to do is put out a good one, and it'll come straight back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd include Final Fantasy in that. Possibly also Batman movies.
Sure.
It's not
Flash movies, though. They put out a bad Flash movie, and hopefully we're never
going to be hearing from that again. And Ezra Miller's going to mysteriously disappear during a cruise in the Caribbean sometime soon.
Good. Was anal fantasy the thing you were getting at?
Hey, you figured it out.
No, I didn't. Chat figured
it
out.
Yes, if you merge the I with the F, it looks like a capital A.
Jeepers, creepers. Another funny thing about Final Fantasy, though, is you're making certain statements about certain games, and I feel like there is no general consensus on any of these games. I guarantee there's someone in chat who would defend every single Final Fantasy game, and someone in chat who would say that game is a piece of shit for every single one. I bet there's someone in chat who loves 7, who loves 8, who loves 9, who loves 10, who loves 12, who loves 13,
who loves
15.
What was that really bad one that was basically developed to be dumbed down for Western audiences? The one that was on the SNES? Was that Mystic
Final
Quest?
Mystic Quest, yeah.
It was called.
That was weird. They've also used the Final Fantasy name to like backdoor introduce things like the Secret of Mana franchise, the second Densetsu franchise was Final Fantasy Adventure / Legends.
Okay, yeah. Someone justify Mystic Quest. Someone in the chat, tell us how much they love Mystic Quest and explain why they like it.
I love mysticism. Mysticism is like just a cool topic as a whole, and quests are neat. Who doesn't like a good quest?
Hang on, I'm going to do some proper research. Lowest rated Final Fantasy game. Oh, there we go. Someone in the chat justify Dirge of Cerberus Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, it is going to be crucial for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Oh my, it literally does introduce characters who are going to be vital to the Final Fantasy VII story going forward. It is a dog shit game, but it is vital.
Thank you for reminding me of that, Google, because yeah, that game's awful. I think Unskippable did its intro once. It was a very funny episode.
It turns out they did not know how to make a third-person shooter. Dirge of Cerberus was a Final Fantasy VII third-person action spin-off starring Vincent Valentine.
Oh, God. Yes, it was awful.
It was not good. Yeah. Crisis Core was pretty good, though. Advent Children, very cool.
What else? Okay.
You know, but we've also gotten like some of the spinoffs, like people hold Final Fantasy Tactics in the highest regard. People think that's one of the best, you know, strategy tactics games slash stories of any Final Fantasy game. Crystal Chronicles, a multiplayer that brought the reunion back with Nintendo to the GameCube. Everyone could plug in their Game Boy Advances and have a good time carrying a weird candle or whatever the hell that game was about.
Oh, well, this article I've found puts Final Fantasy 13 up there with Deirdre Cerberus as the worst Final Fantasy games.
See, that's the thing, is I bet there's someone out there who would love it. I think every game has its defenders and every game has its haters, which I kind of like about the series. I think that means that there's a lack of homogenization that I think keeps it interesting. Then we have weird offshoots. Remember Stranger of Paradise? Did you review that? Was that last year, the year before?
Yeah, I reviewed that.
Team Ninja one. That was a weird one.
That was really weird, although some people really defend it.
See, all these games, people love them. Air Guys, the fighting game for PS1 that had a bunch of Final Fantasy characters.
Okay, I had another article that says the absolute worst Final Fantasy game was Final Fantasy All the Bravest.
Oh, that might have been like a mobile game. That doesn't count.
I think it was a mobile game, yeah. It was a game where you just tap on characters and the fights play themselves.
Everyone take a drink, because I'm going to bring up Yuji Naka's prison sentence. But the reason Yuji Naka is in prison is because of insider trading he had with the company that he knew was going to be developing the Final Fantasy VII mobile game that came out a few years ago that has already been shut down. So that's like a real kick in the pants to do insider trading on a game.
Hope it was worth it, Yuji Naka.
Hashtag free Yuji Naka.
Don't you drop that soap now.
No, Yuji Naka is going to be fine. I'm sure Japanese prisons are fine. They're nice.
Yeah, there's probably a whole soap-dropping ceremony in Japanese prisons.
Oh, that's not nice.
Sorry, was that racist? That might have been racist.
I don't know if it was racist, it just wasn't good.
I was just referring to how the Japanese tend to like a strict orderliness to their official proceedings. I was in reference to the Japanese tea ceremony. Forget it. I'm just digging myself deeper here, aren't I?
Yeah. Enjoy. Which is what Yuji Naka will do when he tries to dig himself out of prison, like an old school escape film.
Hey! You keep that spoon up your sleeve, Yuji Naka.
Mm-hmm. Will do.
Anyway, shall we go to Super Chats?
There's a couple things I want to talk about, but there's a lot of super chats, and a lot of them are covering things I want to talk about. So
this is the bit where you get your say. Now, this is where we read out all the super chats. Remember to get them in if you have got something you really think is important that it be read out.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to start again because I lost the top view.
All right, let me just paste this top one in. Number one is Gary Davies in Early Access. Thank you so much, Gary Davies. Is Persona 5 suitable to a JRPG noob like myself?
Oh, yes. I was
good first place. Yeah.
I was never a huge JRPG person, but Persona 5 I really liked.
Yeah. It's great.
It helped me remember that I did like some other JRPGs in the past.
And it does a good job of onboarding. It has a lot of systems, and it doles them out slowly over the course of the game.
A lot of JRPGs, and Final Fantasy is, of course, one of the big offenders here, have tried to like reach a broader audience by creating these hybrid real-time and turn-based systems. When I think Persona 5 does really well just by sticking to turn-based and doing it really nicely. Yeah. Because, you know, if you get someone hooked on a real-time stroke turn-based system and then go, right, now try these other games that use the old turn-based system, they're all going to go, I don't like this.
Yeah, and it has... it also has sort of that energy like we were talking about with early Final Fantasy games, to where the battles feel so energetic and it's a combination of the music and the visuals and the the UI, like the way numbers show up. Just a beautiful little thing. Yeah. Also, some people have asked me over the past couple of weeks, they've never played a Final Fantasy game, what's a good place to start? And I do think 16 isn't a terrible place to start, but for older ones, I would say 6, 7, or 10.
I guess I'd say 6. Here's a dog.
Decent upwards. Yeah. Oh, a dog. Yeah. And 6, the 1 through 6 are all available on all modern platforms, thanks to the Pixel remasters, which have a lot of quality of life changes, which are small things like, level scaling and being able to fast forward and that kind of stuff is all very nice.
All right then.
Okay, next one. Liam Bunny. with a $10 donor. Thank you so much, Liam. I just read Differently Morphous and enjoyed it immensely. Was the murder mystery planned out before writing or worked out during the writing and editing?
Well, of course, when you write a mystery, you have to have it worked out at the beginning. So you can...
You don't want to go by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, you can drop the little seeds of clues on the way through. So I basically knew the answer to the mystery by the start, but a lot of the nuts and bolts came together in the process of writing.
Yeah.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
That's usually how I write. I have a somewhat clear idea of how it's going to end, and then I just see how it goes.
Do you ever, like, are you ever grappling with multiple solutions through the a thing like a mystery? Like, and then you have to figure out which one it is by the end? Or do you sort of enter it being like, okay, I know exactly where this is going
to
go?
No, you got to have a strong answer to a mystery. So I always know the answer to the mystery from the start. That said, I wasn't 100% clear on who Jacques McKeown was in the first book, but I was absolutely certain by the time I started the second.
Yeah, there you go. Vulgar display of gaming with $5 Australian. Thank you so much. Final Fantasy 16 is way too overhyped at the moment. I am loving the story and combat, but the pacing and constant fetch quests are slowly killing my initial love for it.
Hey, I haven't started it yet. That's this afternoon's job.
There you go. That's the problem with hype is I know it's tough, but you gotta, this is funny coming from me cause I like to get excited for things, but, try to enter something with a bit of a bubble. Try not to let the outside voices, whether positive or negative, sway your own opinion. Make your own opinion. Make your own kind of music.
Yes, this is why I don't watch other people's reviews before I've done my own.
Mm-hmm. John Connor with $5 Canadian. Thank you so much. Is Final Fantasy VII Remake or 16 worth getting into if you've never played any Final Fantasy VII and the time commitment?
Well, Final Fantasy VII Remake is sort of designed as a sort of deconstruction of the original, isn't it?
Very much, yeah. Which
and
is
a lot of it relies on having nostalgia for the characters.
Yeah, like Nick played 7 Remake without playing 7 and really enjoyed it. But I feel like there's so many like the big bombshells that happen are sort of they hit heavier if you know what happened in the original and know how this remake sequel reconstruction is deviating from that original.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 16 seems like a pretty good place to start, in my opinion. DHK, thank you so much for the donation. 2 a.m. here, but I'm sure I'll enjoy it on my way to work. Thanks in advance for the banter. Thank you so much, DHK. And a vulgar display of gaming again with $5 Australian. What are your opinions on Final Fantasy 15? Ever since 16 came out, I've been seeing articles about how hated 15 was, but me and my friends loved it. What did you think of 15?
Well, I think we already mentioned it felt like the actual plot was taking place off screen.
What did you think of sort of the modernized elements in terms of like things feeling like 21st century America with the you know flood of advertisements everywhere, the emphasis on a road trip in a car that was very much like a real car, that kind of thing? Like, do you think that worked or did that aesthetic kind of turn you off immediately?
I wouldn't say it was an aesthetic that particularly drew me to it.
Yeah.
It was interesting, but, you know, in the end, it's all going to come down to pretty anime sword boys fighting big floaty godlike beings.
A lot of floaty beings. And that was a problem where like they released a game and it wasn't really finished. And then they changed a bunch of things in it. And yeah, kind of a mess of a development of that game.
Yeah.
Booted and rebooted several times. So, yeah. And then Alex James with a $5 donation. Thank you so much. For Yahtzee, sorry if you've gotten this before, but I'm curious. Screw, marry, kill. Elizabeth, Lawrence, Penelope, Warden, Agent Y, Yolanda.
Those are three female characters from my books. I would shag Penelope Warden, probably marry Agent Y, and I'd kill Elizabeth Lawrence because she's probably up to something.
No. Oh, poor Elizabeth Lawrence. There you go. Scavenger with $10 dono. Thank you so much. You said you didn't like the length of Final Fantasy 4 through 6. Was it that you were spoiled for choice? If those had been your only games, like many of us console kids, would you have appreciated the length?
It's entirely possible, but they weren't my only games. I could also play Sonic the Hedgehog on my PC emulators.
That's another series that no matter how many times Sonic gets punched to the ground, gets right back up.
Yeah, somehow. Thanks to this massive, invisible Sonic audience that reliably buys all the games, still.
The invisible hand. The invisible hand of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, God. I have seen the invisible hand of capitalism, and it was wearing a white glove.
Oh, no! It was eating a chili dog. Beautiful. The Merchant of Death with a £5 dono. Thank you so much. For the longest time, I thought Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy were in the same universe. My friend, who's a big Final Fantasy fan, was not happy. Also loving the stream. Yeah, well, we didn't talk about Kingdom Hearts, which is like the weird.
Even I know that a bunch of Final Fantasy figures show up in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
So, yes, they are, apparently.
It's funny, though. It feels like it's deviated from that because
it feels like that was like also running around. Just for one
but
thing.
But no, like the Kingdom Hearts 1 very much was kind of modeled as this is Final Fantasy cross Disney. Whereas now the series is this is Kingdom Hearts and we'll sprinkle some Disney stuff in here.
It like, was such a
they're
mad,
very rarely relying on old Final Fantasy characters
such
anymore.
A mad idea from the beginning. It's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit if instead of the real world, it was the Neverending Story or something.
It's also just crazy to me that Disney of all companies would allow this just because they are so seemingly precious with their IP. Just a strange thing. Just a very strange thing. Top to bottom. Sir Arthur with
I can do them now. We've got to where I am. I just wanted to say someone brought up Who Framed Roger Rabbit on Twitter last week. I think because it was the anniversary.
Okay.
And they were saying, isn't it funny how Robert Zemeckis was able to walk into a studio and say, hi, I want to make a 1940s set neo-noir. I want to license every cartoon character anyone's ever heard of. Uh-huh. It's going to cost twice as much as Star Wars. Yeah. And for the leading man playing a sort of hard-bitten, handsome private eye type, I want a short, fat British man.
Yeah.
And he did it, and it was amazing.
Amazing. Perfect.
I mean, probably wouldn't let him do it these days. If they did, they'd want a lot of product placement or something.
Yeah.
Well, where were we? Zaratha, yes, $5.
Yeah.
He says, my take on Final Fantasy Recipe is medieval stroke contemporary fantasy plus sci-fi on varying levels of each. Even FF1 has a little sci-fi with the Exile Floating City. Well, that's like 9 different genres, Zaratha, that you've just described.
I mean, yeah, to me, there is, like, every game is on a spectrum of medieval fantasy to hard sci-fi, and it's each game can kind of be a different spot on
that
spectrum.
Well, medieval contemporary fantasy sci-fi covers basically the entire spectrum of settings.
That is true. That is the contemporary in there throws you. I think 15 is the outlier. That is pretty much all settings, yeah. Would you like it if one was just like about pirates? Like one was about cowboys?
There have been Final Fantasy games about pirates. There have been cowboys in Final Fantasy games. There was one in Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, he was great. There's a lot of dudes with guns in that game too, which was great. What a game.
The main character had a gun that was also a sword.
It's interesting though, like you have a game like Live Alive, which Square Enix made, you know, in the SNES era, and it's got its remake the other year, and that was able, every single short story in Live Alive was able to be like, this is going to be about robot boxers, or this is going to be set in a derelict space station at the end of time, or this is going to be set in feudal Japan, or this is going to be about cavemen. And I feel like when you have smaller things, smaller little like tighter experiences, you're able to deviate from the norm. I don't think they could ever just be, we're going to make a whole Final Fantasy game about cavemen.
No.
I think they'd be scared. Also, probably wouldn't be interesting.
There was cavemen in Chrono Trigger.
Oh, she was great. Let me tell you. Ayla. Whew.
Robert Johnson gives $10, says, that bloody movie wasn't even a Final Fantasy story to begin with. They just called it Gaia at first.
Yeah, but no one's going to go see a movie called Gaia. And it turned out no one went to see a movie called Final Fantasy either. But
the story I heard was that they were trying to push, in the vein of trying to launch a huge expanded universe, apropos of nothing, they were trying to launch the concept of a virtual actress with the Final Fantasy movie. The main character was going to be like a person you could see in other CG films, perhaps.
Yeah, like playing different characters, though. Very, very strange. Yeah.
Didn't really work out,
though. Dr. Aki Ross, that was her name. Yeah.
Didn't really work out, though. Although, no, it didn't. That sort of almost actually happened with Lara Croft.
Mm-hmm.
They became like a household name for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like they were like, can we have her be a fashion model?
They didn't have her play different characters, but she's been in like every imaginable setting and like outfit.
Yeah.
Like a dress-up dolly. Anyway, moving on. John Faust gives $5. Says, hey, Yahtzee, big fan of your books. Mogworld's my favorite. Appreciate all the laughs over the years. Thanks, John Faust.
All the laughs. Rank the laughs. Top 10 laughs.
Yes.
You don't have to rank the laughs. That seems like a lot of work. I'm not going to do that. That's too many laughs.
Oh, God, I jumped down to the bottom again.
Oh, no. Do you want me to take it?
I got it.
Rendworth.
Rendworth, member for 35 months in early access, says, shout out to Final Fantasy CC, My Life as King. Carbon copy.
Crystal Chronicles.
Did someone have to be carbon copied on somebody's life as a king at some point?
Oh, no. great game. That was the Crystal Chronicles sequel for the Wii. Remember the Wii? I believe it was a WiiWare game, if I'm not mistaken. Remember WiiWare?
The Wii, you say?
Yeah, the WiiWare was like the little digital storefront where they made little
digital
games.
Doesn't ring a bell. Why would you name a console after a euphemism for micturation?
We got ask Nintendo for that. I am worried about whatever the Switch 2 is going to be named, because whenever they have a big success, they follow it up with something that is very stupid.
I was worried after the Wii U they were going to call the Switch the Switch. With two eyes.
That's not bad. We got to bring it back.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them doing that with the second one. There's a series of adventure games made by a German company, I think, or maybe French, that was just called Goblins with three eyes, because there were three playable characters. And the sequel, Goblins 2, was called Goblins with two eyes.
That's really funny.
Because there were only two playable characters. And guess what? In the third Goblins game, there was only one playable character. And guess what that was called?
Just regular Goblins?
Yes, just Goblins with one eye. Goblins 3.
That's kind of exciting. That's very exciting, actually.
Anyway, a bucket list, member for 37 months in early access, says, I just want to feel better than everyone for 37 months.
Yeah, you. I hope you feel better than everyone.
You certainly are better than everyone who's not in early access. As for people who are in early access, you're probably top 100 somewhere.
Sure, yeah. Do you think that's on their bucket list?
Well, let's hope so.
Name's bucket list.
Zaratha gives $2 and says, since it came up on chat, FF, marry, fuck, kill, go. Well, you got to tell us what three to pick
from, give us
Zaratha. That's the point of the game.
That would be like, what's our favorite, what's our least favorite, and what's like our middle favorite?
I don't have a middle favorite Final Fantasy game. Piss off.
Robert, I think Final Fantasy X is your middle favorite.
Okay, you go on believing that. Robert Johnson gives $10 and says, Lord have mercy, if 13 wasn't the game that used up whatever goodwill I still had for the future of the series. The coconut banging thing was apt as heck, though.
Coconut banging was great.
I don't know what that's referencing.
Was that a joke you made in your review
I suspect it might be, yes.
With Monty Python?
It might have been referencing that, yes.
Yeah. I don't think any single game should cause you to lose interest in it because the next one is weird. Maybe you would love 15. Maybe you would love 16. Maybe you would love the MMO one.
Well, I guess we'll never
fucking play something else.
You'll never know without actually playing the fucking things. That's the scam, I suppose.
I mean, that's everything. Isn't that all art? You don't know if you're going to like it until you try it?
Final Fantasy, with its habit of being a completely different game to game.
Yes, gotcha. Yeah, liking the previous one doesn't necessitate, doesn't equate liking the next one.
Yeah, particularly. Mm-hmm. Scavenger gives $5 and says, for me, Final Fantasy X2 is the Majora's Mask of Final Fantasy. They did the kill God with pretty sword boy plot and then went nuts and it felt fun.
Yeah.
Wasn't Final Fantasy X2 the one that was overtly aimed at girls?
Yeah, it was. It took the female members of the Ten cast and made them the core cast for X-2, and they almost felt like they were like a pop group.
Yeah, so one of the core mechanics was changing what pretty dress you were wearing.
What outfits? It wasn't pretty dress. It was just cool ass costumes. And so it almost like took the costume changing and you know, took the job system, which started, I believe, in Final Fantasy 4 or 5. 5 popularized it, but sort of, you know, melded the job system in there.
I don't mean to demean the game by saying it was overly aimed at girls. It just feels weird to deliberately, you know, limit your audience like that.
I don't think it was... I mean, maybe at the time it was limiting, because I feel like people were still... still a little like, oh, I need to play the games with the big boys with the swords, whereas I think audiences now, I feel like X-2 almost has had a critical reappraisal over the years, but I think it's great. And I also think, like Majora's Mask, there is something about saying, hey, in a limited amount of time, we're going to use the technology of what took us a long time to build something smaller and more compact and interesting. And I think we get interesting games out of that. I think that's something more developers should do.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. Spontaneous Sponge, member for 27 months in Early Access, says congrats on the Starstruck Vagabond announcement.
Da-da-da-da. There's a Steam page.
Oh, would this be the announcement that the Steam page just went live and you can wishlist it right now? The Steam page for Starstruck Vagabond, the game that we're not supposed to bring up too much in the videos of the Escapist.
I'm not involved in the game. I can bring it up. To me, it's just a game. It's just an upcoming game. You can go to the Starstruck Vagabond Steam page. Give it a little wish list.
Yeah. There's a trailer too.
There's a trailer. Goodness. I'm not wishlisting until it comes to Switch though.
Well, you know, cross your little fingers and say a little prayer.
I'll do both.
Tsunami Dusha gives $20 and says, when I want to play an actual Final Fantasy, I either go replay Final Fantasy 1 or I play Bravely Default 2. I've actually replayed Bravely Default 2 over 3 times, about a year apart from each other. Love games you can go back to. Well, there's no hope for you, Tsunami Dusha. Although, you know, that whole an actual Final Fantasy game statement, that's an almost literal definition of a no true Scotsman fallacy, isn't it, Tsunami Dusha?
I mean, that is the funny thing, is like for people who... are banging the drum saying this is not for 16, saying this is not my Final Fantasy. I want a medieval. I want turn based combat, and I want it to look like it used to. Square has Bravely Default. We have Octopath Traveler for the Switch. The second one came out this year and was beloved by people. So those games still exist. Those games still exist with folks who've worked on the Final Fantasy series. It's just that core series is just always moving along. It's always at the cutting edge of technology. Final Fantasy 16 is one of the most gorgeous games I've ever played. It's a lot of look, but don't touch, though. Like a museum.
If Final Fantasy was a person who was about to go on a date, and they were asking for advice from their friend, I don't know, Chrono Trigger, and Chrono Trigger said, don't worry about it, Final Fantasy, just be yourself. What would Final Fantasy do?
It wouldn't know what to do. I mean, it would depend when. It would be the ourselves at whatever period of time that was. You being yourself at 15 was probably different than you being yourself at 25.
Well, I like to think so.
You being yourself right now, yeah.
Jerked off a lot less when I was 25. Pirate Captain Jack gives $5 and says, if you have any opinions of Legend of Dragoon, what would they be? If not, would you try it? I don't know, and no.
I'm not crazy high on Legend of Dragoon. It was Sony's first party studio, looking at the success of Final Fantasy VII, being like, we can one up it, we can create our own Final Fantasy killer, which is a weird thing to do to a game that is exclusive on your platform. Like, you are the one making the money off this. Why do you want to create a game that is a killer of that thing? And they put it out, and you play as this dude named Dart. The game feels heartless to me. It feels like it it doesn't have a lot of soul, doesn't have a lot of longevity. Never stood out. especially in the pantheon of PS1 RPGs. There's so many great PS1 RPGs. Legend of Dragoon never did it for me.
Well, there you go. Josh Best gives $4.99 and says, "Gents, listening to you two and Jack helped keep me sober over the last few years. Thank you so much. Also, IMO, Final Fantasy is overrated. More a fan of the Tales series. I did play Tales of Arise for a bit."
Yeah.
"There was a dude with a metal thing over his face, and it never explained how he ate. And then I got bored."
Oh, yeah, because it kind of started with, the Man in the Iron Mask kind of thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It never explained how he ate. The Tales games sort of have done the real-time sort of action combat.
What I like?
Than Final Fantasy has.
You know the franchise I like? Ys. Did you ever play the Ys games?
I played a couple of Ys games. I'm not as well-learned about the Ys series.
I played a few of them. I tend to like them. They're very simple, sort of usually action-focused, and they always feel like they're a bit behind the rest of the industry. But I think there's a sort of, adorable purity in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. All of those, it feels like all those RPG series have their ardent defenders.
And I wouldn't ardently defend Ys. I just think, it's a nice cozy place to go if you don't feel like being challenged too hard.
Is the word ardent ever used outside of defenders?
Ardent? I suppose not. I mean, it's like how you only ever use the word thwart when talking about what you do to supervillains.
That's true. No one's ever going their 9-to-5 and thwarting.
Yeah. Fungus Finder gives $2 and says, "Is it likely that Final Fantasy will ever end?" Well, it might end when Civilization does, Fungus Finder. Mm-hmm. But even then, who knows? We'll make up our own Final Fantasies using paper puppets around the campfire.
There you go. It'll be like that movie. Did you ever see that movie Reign of Fire with Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey about dragons in the future? It's dragons in the future, and it's kind of a post-apocalyptic world. But around the campfire, a story they tell is the story of The Empire Strikes Back, because some members of society were able to see it as a kid, even though movies don't exist anymore.
That's slightly pathetic.
Why? What story would you tell around the campfire?
I don't know. I just make up one that's relevant to their current lives, about how one day people triumphed against the dragons. That's like the
Star Wars rules.
I like the parents who want their kids to become Star Wars fans, taken to an even more pathetic degree.
Listen, they're living in a world overrun by dragons. Let them have their fun.
You'd think they'd want to have a nice, cozy story about things that everything works out really fine at the end, and doesn't get remade into prequels starring Jar Jar Binks.
I don't know when the dragons in that world attacked, so I don't know if prequels existed. I know the sequel trilogy definitely. Well, I don't know if it existed. If there's any big Reign of Fire fans in the audience, don't explain it to us, because I don't think either of us care.
Nob gives $4.99 and says, "If you grew up with a Final Fantasy game as one of the only games you had, you're probably a huge fan, but if not, you won't like it, no in between." Well, that's true of literally everything, Nob.
Yeah.
If you grow up with X as one of the only games you had, you're probably a big defender of it now.
I don't think if you didn't grow up with something, you're not going to like it, though. I'm sure there's plenty of people who came to the franchise late. Maybe.
Yeah. I came pretty late. I came to Final Fantasy VI, as I say, when I was emulating it in the late 90s.
Also, if you grew up and only had a PlayStation or something, or an Xbox or a PC, and you weren't emulating, you needed to wait for some of these older games to be released.
There you go.
Also, just emulate old games. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, who cares? Certainly not the original publishers, if they still exist.
Nintendo cares. They get very angry.
Well, they can swivel on my mid-digit. If they're not going to support a game, then, go to town. That's what I say.
Nick keeps making fun of me because I just rebought Pikmin 1 and 2 on the Switch because they released them on there.
Duh.
New game's great. Pikmin. Delightful.
If you like that sort of thing.
I love that sort of thing. What, are you kidding me? Crash landing on a planet, picking up these little plants. Some of them are immune to fire. Some of them could go in the water. Oh, baby's first RTS. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they've tried to do RTS on consoles, and it's never really worked out.
Works on Pikmin. Captain Olimar.
I think because the people who like RTS prefer to play it on PC because it's just easier.
Yeah, that's why they got their weird hunched backs.
No one's playing their StarCraft on their PC and looking wistfully over at the console people going, gosh, I wish I could play on that.
Missing out on Pikmin. Oh my god. What a game. Duracell anyway. Batteries?
Anyway. Very good freelancer gives $4.99 and says, really sad seeing the personality and art direction being drained from Final Fantasy, same as Zelda, etc., in favor of increasing time on game.
Very good freelancer. If you think Zelda is lacking personality in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, I think we have a different definition of personality.
Well, Link's always sort of lacks personality, except in the Wind Waker.
The game itself has so much personality. Look at all the robots with huge flaming penises people are building. It's wild.
Well,
wild out here.
Well, the game didn't give them huge flaming penises.
Still personality.
Okay.
You don't know. You know there's some sickos at Nintendo who are like, hell yeah,
just
I know
saying that being able to build a flaming penis robot gives it personality is like saying being able to draw a picture of a robot on a piece of paper gives the piece of paper personality.
Hell yeah. But it's not using the tools that the paper gives you.
Well, maybe the paper comes with a pen. Maybe they gave you a free pen when you buy a sheaf of printer paper at this particular stationery shop.
That'd be nice. More companies should do that. When was the last time you bought paper? I haven't bought paper in several years, to be honest.
Yeah, it's been a while. Probably last time I bought a laser printer. Occasionally, you still work with companies that need you to sign something physical and scan it in.
Get out of town. Get out of town.
Yeah, they still exist. Wesley Thomas gives $2 Canadian and says, fans, change it. Company, okay. Fans, not like that. Yeah, that's basically summarizes the relationship between all fan bases and their companies.
Yeah, I mean, there is quite literally no pleasing everyone when it comes to literally anything. So
I think I've frequently said before, if you ask fans what they want, they'll tell you they want more of what they've already got. And if you give them that, they'll complain it's not new.
Yep.
That's why you should never listen to them. Ever.
Ever? Community got your vote for Yahtzee's.
Even if they've been run over by a car and are pleading to call an ambulance, you shouldn't listen to them.
I think I would call an ambulance in that scenario.
Well, I certainly wouldn't get in the way of anyone who was calling an ambulance. That's about as much as I'm willing
what a
to
hero!
Promise.
What a hero!
Zaratha gives $5 and says, sigh. Favorite Final Fantasy, most hated Final Fantasy, and the Final Fantasy you were had the most dumb fun. Clear now, minor FF8, 13, and X2 respectively. Well, I think your comment is lacking the necessary degree of respect, Zaratha.
I'm going to go, my favorite is 12. My most, the one I, that, that I'm going to say most... I don't even say most hated. I think one is just very, it's like playing the original Legend of Zelda where it's like, all right, I appreciate what you're doing here. This is just not fun for me.
Yeah.
And then the one I had the most dumb fun. I mean, Final Fantasy VII is probably the one I think about the most. Like, it's probably the one, like, I'm so jazzed for these remakes and for fucking put anything in that world. I love these characters. I love that music. I love that man's big sword. His sword is so big. It's great.
Okay. Well, I would say 6 for favorite, 9 for dumb fun. And of the ones I've played, probably Lightning Returns for most hated.
There you go. Sorry, Lightning.
Nob comes back with $4.99 and says, speaking of RPGs, Lisa the Painful is getting remastered soon. Are there any of you played it, and are you planning on playing the remaster? I think I started it once. Then I got depressed.
Yeah, that's one of those, like... when I lumped together a lot of things like Omari and Undertale, right?
Yeah, the
like
Earthbound children. The Earthbound Descendants, it's one of those.
As much as I love Earthbound and Mother 3, I've like never played any of those. I should probably start with Undertale.
Play Undertale. It's really good.
Everyone tells me. The whole thing about do I kill everyone or not kill everyone seems like a lot of pressure on me.
That's just a small part of it.
Kill some people?
This is me, the 15-year, you know... veteran game critic telling you it is one of his favorite games.
Okay, and I trust you. I like a lot of the games you like.
Okay. Alex Armstrong gives $2 and says, loved the Starstruck Vagabond trailer. Can't wait. Thanks for bringing it up again, Alex Armstrong. Yes. Now I actually have to finish the bloody game. Oh God, pressure.
Minor technicality.
It's mostly done. There's just a lot of cleaning up that needs doing.
Polish.
Yep. Scavenger gives $5 and says, confession, I was always more of a Phantasy Star fan. I wish they'd go back to standard RPGs instead of just the online games.
See, I never got into Phantasy Star. I know it was a big Sega Genesis franchise.
Yeah, that's one of Sega's few classic RPG properties.
Yeah. And then Phantasy Star Online was one of, if not the first console MMO on the Dreamcast. The
trouble with suddenly going big as an online thing is that they very swiftly become a niche, but a niche you have to focus all your energy on forever.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's why there haven't been too many Warcraft games since World of Warcraft came out.
Yeah.
SVSGuru 2000 gives €5 and says, is swivel on my mid digit some form of alliteration? Well, no. It would only be alliteration if every letter if every word started with the same letter. That's what alliteration is.
That was just sit on the middle finger and spin?
If it was swivel on swy swid swidget, it would be alliterative. I don't think alliteration means what you think it means, SVSGuru 2000. Please explain yourself.
Listen, SVS Guru comes from the noble land of Germany. Maybe there's a lot of alliteration in Germany. Think about it.
Okay.
But, you know what's great? Germany. Germany's great.
Yeah, they've had some low points, but generally...
Currently, though, Angela Merkel? I don't even know if she's still... I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure if she's still there.
I don't know anything about the current German political situation. Maybe they're electing Nazis as well. Who knows?
They are not. I like, you know what I like as well, I guess. I like Cologne, great city. I like Hamburg, great city. I like Munich. There you go. Those are my top three German ranking.
Right there. If you really liked them, you'd use the names, what they're called in Germany.
I'm also a dumb American.
You'd call them Köln and München.
Köln. I like Kolsch. Great beers. Bunch of little beers that they drink. Oof. Great little beers.
Alex Armstrong gives $5 and says, I think FF would be more digestible without the batshit Kingdom Hearts-like stories, like Final Fantasy X's Ghost from the Future being dreamed by a dead city. Well, that was my point, Alex Armstrong, but it's weird that you call them batshit Kingdom Hearts-like stories, considering Final Fantasy was doing them before Kingdom Hearts came out.
Yeah, Final Fantasy X predated Kingdom Hearts, so I don't know. I don't mind batshit. Like Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, those all have batshit things to them.
Well, the thing about Final Fantasy stories is that they have to be very long, because these are like 100-hour RPGs. And if they're going to be that long, they also have to have a lot of twists and turns. And that's why they tend to lean in a batshitty sort of direction.
Yeah.
PJ Doolin gives $5 and says, 500 megabyte download size for Starstruck Vagabond is abhorrent. What about the 500 hours of filler content we get in a 200 gig AAA game? Oh, there'll be plenty of filler content, don't you worry, PJ Doolin. It's just very retro. Also, 500 was just an estimate. I suspect most of that will end up being the soundtrack.
You should put it on two discs, like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is going to be. Still there?
X Dark Rival X gives $5 and says, absolute respect to you ravishing intellectuals.
That can't be true.
Sounds like a euphemism for something.
Yeah.
Oh, I see you're one of those ravishing intellectual types.
Hubba hubba.
It's like how it used to be a running gag in British political reporting that if a politician was sacked for being drunk all the time. When someone was drunk in public, they were referred to as being tired and emotional. And if they were sacked for massive scandal or incompetence, they was always sacked to spend more time with their family.
Yeah. Going on a spiritual walkabout.
King Knee gives $5. Canadian. And says, any thoughts on the first Final Fantasy to make the crystal a bad thing? It was pretty obvious from 13 onwards. I think 16 is leaning towards that too. Well, I probably need to have played through more Final Fantasy games to understand what you're on about, King Knee.
Traditionally, crystals were sort of just a source of magic, and it's a good thing. But some of the games kind of deal with it of like, ooh, can this source of something good also be bad?
Yeah, I've played Final Fantasy V, and the plot of that, at least for the first half, is you go to four different temples that all have different elemental crystals in them, and you always arrive just too late to stop the bad guys taking it. And that's been like the plot of like nine other Japanese RPGs that I've seen.
That's just good storytelling. You're just one step behind.
I started Bravely Default 2, and it started saying, now you must escort the princess to the four elemental temples. And I was like, fuck this.
Rule of force. Yeah, like the Final Fantasy VII's whole story was, it wasn't necessarily crystals, but it was the Shinra company is absorbing the Mako, which is the life energy of the planet, in order to create the modern cities of Midgar and the technology we see. And so I think a lot of Final Fantasy games are about evil people / corporations corrupting the place they live because they want more and more, which is a very relatable thing.
Evil corporations are metaphorically crystals because crystals are multifaceted.
Ooh, think about that.
Well, anyway. Zaratha gives $5 and says, there you go, answers. Have a Brazilian cookie. Also, Marty thinks big dong equals personality. Red flag, red flag, red flag. What's this all about?
Marty thinks a big dong equals a personality.
When did you say that?
Listen, I'm not going to say I didn't say it because I'm on a lot of streams and I shoot from the hip and I fire and forget. I don't remember exactly what this was. This might have been this stream. This might have been years ago. I might have just made a joke. Sometimes I make funny noises when people say things. So you might have talked about a big dong, and maybe I said hubba hubba.
You made quite a few funny ones when we were talking about Banjo-Kazooie earlier.
Thank you, Scavenger. The giant flaming dogs, dongs in Zelda give the game personality. I think that is personality. Especially if the dong... dongs are giant, it's the dongs are shooting fire.
Well, it's personality in the sense of the joke, isn't it? How's your new boyfriend? Oh, he's got a very big personality.
Wago wago. Also, thank you, chat, for remembering things from 20 minutes ago in a way that Yahtzee and I cannot.
Wasn't that a joke in a Saints Row game where you had a slider labeled personality, and as you moved it to the right, your cock got bigger?
That's a very clever gloof. Seems like a Saints Row thing.
I seem to remember it was a Saints Row joke. SCSGO2000 gives €5 and says, so what would you call a phrase that focuses, like in that example, on the letter I?
Oh, so that was swivel on my mid-digit. So there's an I. I is the first vowel.
Oh, you're talking about how the vowels are assonant.
Yeah, it's almost like mid-alliteration. Mid-alliteration?
It's not alliteration. It's assonance. If it's got the same vowel sound throughout, it's assonant, not alliterative. Okay.
Do you look for nice personality or good assonance?
I was wondering how to work it into a joke that assonance starts with ass. Thank you very much.
Mine wasn't great, but you know what? It worked. It's fine.
Well, you've ruined the moment now.
I think this moment feels great. We're all here together.
Moving on.
This planet that's just fucking hurtling through space.
Moving on from asses. Fungus Finder gives $5 and says, I've actually never played any Final Fantasies, so Marty, you're a huge weeb, right? Do you like Kill la Kill, the anime about clothes and lack thereof?
I think the style of Kill la Kill and Trigger as a whole is gorgeous and unique and bombastic.
Oh, I see.
It is a lot of characters losing their clothing as their source of power, kind of like Bayonetta.
Oh yes, I like the style of the anime. Also, I read Playboy for the articles.
It has great op-eds and interviews with people like Ernest Borgnine.
Oh yeah, look at the op-eds on that one. Four.
Love my Borgnine. I appreciate Kill la Kill. It's not like one of my favorites. I'm not rewatching it. Thumbs up.
What if that was just an anime where everyone was just naked all the time? Like start to finish.
Like Dragon Ball Z, but everyone's just naked doing like midair fights.
Yeah. Why not?
I feel like that'd be dangerous. A lot of stuff flopping around. A lot of personality flopping around.
It's true. Alex Armstrong gives $2 and says, at this money rate, Nick will have to play Dark Souls 2 twice. Yeah, Nick's going to have to come up with a new goal at some point.
We have a trio of new goals that I think people are going to be able to vote on, and everything over this 100% is going to go towards a new goal. So pretty much whatever the first new goal people vote on will be automatically funded.
Yeah, there you go.
I think one of the goals is Amy playing the Sly Cooper series, which, let me tell you, bring back that raccoon. What's going on?
Where's Sucker Punch, right?
It was. They're too busy with their samurai now.
Yeah, they're too busy with their big, important sandbox games now.
Give it to someone else. Doesn't matter who.
Side note, when's Infamous 2 coming to Steam? Mark Lahr gives $5 and says, what were your opinions on Bravely Default? Did the series fix the classic JRPG warts enough to be fun in 2023? Well, see previous comments, Mark Lahr.
I mean, to me, like, Bravely Default felt so old school throwback that I was almost like, why am I not just playing Final Fantasy 5 or 6 at this point?
It's really
from
dumb
what I've
name.
Heard, Octopath. Bravely Default is very bad.
It's one of those names you're probably not supposed to analyze too much.
What about Project Triangle Strategy? Also a bad name.
Oh, God.
Square is not good at names. Maybe that's why they just stick with Final Fantasy, because they're like, whatever we do,
worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never really worked out when they've added a subtitle to Final Fantasy, has it?
No, they've only done it with, I guess, the sequels, right? With Lightning Returns, I guess, is the only one that has a subtitle. Not a lot of the spinoffs and stuff.
Bravely Default sounds like something you do when you can't make a loan payment, but you're very defiant about it.
Well, also, I believe the first one was called that's pretty good. Bravely Default : Flying Fairy, which is just a bad name. It's just a bad name.
That was the name of your small business that you were getting a loan for.
Oh, no, I put everything in this business.
Yes. Everyone assumed it was a gay bar.
No, I've bravely defaulted on my loans.
It's a skydiving business.
No.
I let my daughter name it.
No. I should have thought about this one. Oh, Nick has COVID in the chat. Nick said he has COVID.
Again.
He was going to New York. He was doing all sorts of sights and sounds, and he was popping bottles, going on boats. He lost his hat, was his problem. He left his hat in New York, and that was the only thing keeping the coronavirus.
Well, haven't we all had it like 3 times by now?
I definitely had it once, and let me tell you, I did not.
Yeah, I've had it at least once, I think.
Yeah.
Rafael Wasoki gives 10 PLNs and says, does FF16 have triple triad? Christ, I hope not, Rafael Wasoki.
It does not. Oh my God, triple triad is great. We are not going to... You are not going to come out here and say that collectible card games inside of larger RPGs are a bad thing.
You're one of those people who plays Gwent in The Witcher 3, I'll bet.
I'm not, because I don't play The Witcher 3 because those games are too big for me. There's too much going on there. I don't play those games.
You're intimidated by their girth, are you?
I am absolutely them.
You worry you don't have the circumference to admit them.
I absolutely do not. I'm proud of it. Triple Triad is great. I don't know how there's not just a mobile version of Triple Triad. Like, I'm done with Marvel Snap. Give me Triple Triad now.
I don't buy any of these settings where there's this anomalously popular card game and it's always a really complicated one. Because in the real world, you know, the really popular card games out the years have been shit like Blackjack.
Sure. Yeah.
Where it's just literally adding up to 21.
One thing I really like about Triple Triad in the original Final Fantasy VIII is, depending on where you are in the world, they'll have different regional twists on the rules, and I think that's pretty neat. It's like a pretty neat little world building.
Like also, I think we may have fighting in Monkey Island.
Exactly. Yeah. Yahtzee, we're less than a month away from Sea of Thieves, Monkey Island.
Oh God! You know, my first instinct is to be repulsed. And my second instinct is just to go back to not caring.
Just to go to bed? Yeah.
Yeah. Fungus Finder gives $2.
We missed one beforehand from Freelancer.
Oh, did we? Oh, there we go. Very Good Freelancer gives $1.89. Says, Majora's Mask had real vibes and personality, and Tears of the Kingdom has big flaming dongs. Ha! Huh, interesting. Well, it's got more than big flaming dongs, but, you know, yeah, I agree. Very Good Freelancer.
But in terms of personality, I think Majora's Mask...
Yeah.
And Wind Waker might be the two with the most personality, so it's hard for me to compare against that.
Yeah,
stop them out.
I banged that drum in my extra punctuation when I was talking about how it could still be improved.
Majora's Mask, a perfect example along with Final Fantasy X-2 building on the thing you had.
Every game where Link's got that semi-realistic design, he's just a complete blank slate of a character with no personality. And we look at Wind Waker Link, where he's got such personality, and he's a big goof, and there's lots of funny slapstick, and I'm like, more of that.
But the angry internet boys at the time, they wanted realism. They pounded their fists on their 56K modems.
Fucking Twilight Princess with its brown and bloom. In the brown and blue.
It is so brown. Graphics. Oh my God, it is so brown. Oh, I forgot how brown it was.
We love our brown and bloom, don't we?
Oh my God, it is the brownest.
Anyway, yes, Fungus Finder, $2. Floppy Personality is a great name for a band. Well, that was worth the wait, Fungus Finder. Thanks very much.
Great.
And then Hjorth87 gives 50 Danish kroner. Says, random question, do you know Crimson Skies? Played it a ton 20 years ago. In my opinion, there's not enough airships and air pirates in current game. Love your work. Yeah, I never had an Xbox, but I went around a friend's house who had one, and I played Crimson Skies there, and that's probably the only place I ever played Crimson Skies.
Yeah, that whole genre of very arcadey, easy to have fun kind of dogfighting games, which yeah. I would say started with like the Star Wars Rogue Squadron games that Factor 5 did, and then Rogue Leader and everything, and Crimson Skies. We just don't have... That's just like a... I feel like that's untapped potential. Like, I don't know why people aren't making these games. Dogfighting's great. Give me more dogfighting. And don't make it super sweaty. I don't want to sweat when I'm dogfighting. Just make it easy.
I think there's a lot of simplified dogfighting games that get a little tedious. It's just line up the thing and hold down fire. Line up the thing and hold down fire.
But those games are... the thing about it, all these games, they're short. They're like fucking 6 hours. You can get, like, gold medals on levels if you want. There's some secret stuff, but they're just in and out of your life. They don't have to be forever games. Give me more shorties. Give me shorties.
Well, I'm sorry to differ, but everything has to be a forever game now, Marty.
I don't want it.
How else are you going to meet the publisher targets?
I have a list on my phone of when I roll credits on a game, and I put down the game and the day I finish it. And I like adding things to that list. So give me more. Give me short games. Give me games I can finish in a single sitting. I'm fine with it.
Scavenger gives $5 and says, I saw the Sword and Fairy series is trying to get into the US market. It's apparently the biggest Chinese RPG series with 7 games. Ever hear of it? Nope.
No.
And that's China's fault for being such a bunch of insular weirdos.
Looks like, I've never heard of it. It looks like a big Chinese action RPG.
It's not quite as snappy as Final Fantasy, is it?
No.
Sword and Fairy. These are the two things you can expect to find in this game.
I think the word "and" bogs up a lot of titles. That's why I like that Banjo-Kazooie is just called Banjo-Kazooie and not Banjo and Kazooie. And I think that's part of its lasting legacy.
Sam and Max Hit the Road. That's a good title.
That is a great title. I retract my statement.
What about... Actually, that's the only title I can think of off the top of my head that has an "and" in it. What's that other one?
I'm looking. That was a good one. Jack and
Ratchet
Dexter.
Jack and Dexter, there you go. Yeah, see, there's loads.
I don't like the Mario and Luigi games, though. I think the Paper Mario games and I think Mario RPG are better. Oh my God, did you see Mario RPGs getting a remake?
Yeah, I saw that. I think Bowser's Inside Story was a highlight.
That was a good one, too. I like going inside that man and seeing what's going on, rooting around inside of his body.
Yeah. It's a sort of rule of thumb for me. If any Bowser RPG or RPG adjacent, any Mario RPG or RPG adjacent game, if Bowser is a playable character or party member, it's always good.
That's the secret. That's the secret sauce right there.
That's what makes them good.
Let me be Bowser.
Yeah.
Let me be Bowser. I mean,
prove me wrong.
Did you, by the way, this is off topic, did you watch the trailer for Super Mario Wonder, the new 2D Mario game that is coming out this fall?
No, I didn't bother. I feel like I know how 2D Mario games work.
I think this one's going to surprise us. I think they got a lot of tricks in their bag.
Okay.
I'm just glad it's not new Super Mario, because let me tell you, I am fucking sick of the new Super Mario. I think those games are ugly, and I don't want them to exist anymore.
Well, you can't really call them new Super Mario Brothers. With any degree of sincerity anymore, can you?
I didn't stop Nintendo for like 15 years. Also, you can't call these Final Fantasy if they're not the last one anymore.
Well, that's it for the Super Chats. So we'd all better go about our days. Thanks for watching, stroke listening to Slightly Something Else. I was Yahtzee Croshaw. I was joined by Marty Sleaver.
Yeah.
Later today, I'm going to start playing Final Fantasy 16. I hope it's good.
I hope you enjoy it.
But as of what's relevant to you, I'll be back on Wednesday with Zero Punctuation, of course, which will be on the subject of Diablo 4, actually.
Ooh.
Is this the week we're changing how Zero Punctuation scheduling works?
I think so. That's ultimately a Nick question. I think Nick is dying, so...
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it when Nick's dying less. But yes, sometime soon there's going to be some change-ups in terms of Zero Punctuation releases. But we'll
if you are a member or a patron subscriber or anything like that, nothing's going to change for you.
Yeah.
If you give us money on a regular basis, nothing will change for you.
Ooh, slightly ominous warning there.
I know. I wanted a nicer way of saying that.
Okay.
But well, if you're in the Green Gang or if you're a patron, nothing will change for you.
Well, we'll let you all know once it's all confirmed. I've got Extra Punctuation dropping for everyone on Thursday as well. What else is coming out on The Escapist this week?
We got triple streams today at 3 p.m. Central, so in about 90 minutes. I am going to be back with Frost for our last set of Steam Next Fest demos, another sponsored stream with a game called Broken Roads, and then Tamarack Trail. We're going to play more Tamarack Trail, which, let me tell you, Frost is fucking obsessed with. Uh-huh. Tamarack Trail is this upcoming Slay the Spire-esque game, except you roll die instead of sort of drawing cards, but you build the die. So like you choose what is on specific spots on the die, and certain things will be like when the die lands, it moves, it kind of jumps to the left, and if two die touch each other.
Just sounds like a deck builder with extra steps.
Oh no, let me tell you, he is rootin' tootin' stoked for it. Okay. So there you go. Also, we played a game on Friday that you need to have on your radar called Little Guardsman, which is like Papers, Please, but like a Cartoon Network cartoon. And you play a guardsman in a medieval fantasy town who has to let people in or shoo people away based on various traits. It was
fear I'm going to be busy with Final Fantasy 16 for the foreseeable future.
Oh, this was a demo. This isn't, none of these games are out yet, so you're going to be fine. Okay. Yeah, I think you'll like it. And then later tonight on Hidden Gems, Jesse and Casey will be back playing a game called Impulsion. I don't know what it is, but the thumbnail is a man with two guns and he looks like he's running.
Oh yeah, I saw a post about that. That actually looks pretty interesting if you're into like neon white style traversal first person games.
Yep. Fast 'em ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dogmatic Director gave $2 and says, "Scamp behavior, here's a last minute donation." Oh, there's two even bigger scamps than you, Dogmatic Director. Because then X-Dark Rival X gives $10 and says, "X-Wing for Windows 95 was my first video game. Give me a short story, but an absolute fire core gameplay loop and a little variety in objectives. I would spend a lot of time in a dogfighting game."
I do like X-Wing. I like TIE Fighter, and I like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. All three
there
of those.
There you go. Just dredging up an old point at the last minute. And finally, Wesley Thomas gives $2 and says, "Last..." So we better wrap this up quickly so he's proved a liar. Which he will be now, let's face it. Anyway, we'll be going now. Star Trek Vagabonds Steam page just got launched, but you didn't hear it from me. Touched nose. Here's a small adorable dog.
"Hello everyone. I'll see you all next time when we're streaming next.
Bye.
Go.
Bye, everyone.